Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are approaching the second half of July already.
Flying by.
17th.
So the big news of the week that people were all flutter about was the rather crazy Twitter post that you had going on. What were you hacked?
No, I wasn't hacked, actually. But what I had done is at some point I wanted to do something, and I agreed to letting one of these and I thought it was a legitimate site. You could use my Twitter account because I've given certain permissions.
Right.
So I gave this thing, it's like TweetDeck or it wasn't TweetDeck, but it was like one of those systems. And it turns out that I was hornswoggled and it was just some sort of spammer. And, somebody said, hey, go check out what you've, what you're connected with. And I went down, looked at my list. I said, there it is that thing. And I just cut it off.
Yeah, because you were getting actually when I clicked something, it looked interesting, so I clicked it, but then it said, "Oh, I have to allow Twitter."
Yeah, well, that's the trick. That's what they were. If you did that, then you'd be suckered too.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. So I figured, everybody figured something was going on.
No, but everybody figured it out, yeah. But me.
But
it did give me opportunity to change my password too. So I both changed my password and canceled that connection. Mm. Now I only have like one connection. I think it's on MailChimp.
Oh, to Twitter, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to change that and update that.
It's fine. I use it once in a while. Mm.
Sometimes the APIs don't require you to change a password if you gave the authorization prior.
But I pulled the authorization from everything.
Okay. Well, let's talk about markets for a moment here. So far, we're in the best month of 2018 since January. Ahead of all these earnings that were coming out, investors are stepping up and buying and looking past some of the recent global economic and geopolitical issues and just simply buying.
Yeah.
Financials reported last week on Friday. They started with a couple, Citi, Wells Fargo. They look good on the surface, but stocks sold off on the news on Friday. And then into Monday, Bank of America came out and they reported. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh, not so bad. Let's buy them up. So they started buying the financials again. It's kind of like what we see. There's a big, almost every earnings season, I see, the banks go up on the news and then kind of start slowly fading. This has at least been the last, I guess.
Another cycle.
Yeah, it's been the last few quarters. But there was some selling on the news on that. We saw the yield curve was tightening again. And I don't know if I did this recently, but I put together a chart of the twos and tens, which is this indicator that's talked about a lot. It's the theoretical prediction of recession indicator of some sort. And if it goes below zero, then there's this countdown. I guess a clock will go on, and 12 to 24 months out, we're going to see a potential for a recession. But that's only because it's funny. You know, the old statistics don't lie, but liars or figures don't lie, but liars always try to figure, and statistics can be manipulated. There was a guy today on CNBC, this guy, Tom Lee. He's a bull about everything. Bull, 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 everything. Bull predicting 25,000 in Bitcoin by the end of the year. It's always a good time to buy, whether it's up or whether it's down. And tonight he came on with this
chart. They love those guys at CNBC. Oh,
love them. He came on with a chart tonight of Bitcoin. He says, it's a good time to buy Bitcoin. Because look at what we did. We went back in history, which there's not a lot of history. He goes, we use the 200-day moving average. Whenever Bitcoin is like, I don't know what the number was, something like 30% away from its 200-day moving average, within 6 months, it's up nicely. And he pointed out two different dates in the past that this has happened. And he said, look, you can see that It goes below its 30% below its 200-day moving average. And then 6 months later, and then somebody asks him a question. He says, what is the chance? Well, he says, there's a 90% probability this will happen. Now, there's only two or maybe three different data points that show this. And then he's saying it's only 90% probability. So therefore, you got to knock some off of that. Total horse shot.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Anyway.
You don't have enough. Yeah. Well, this is always the same. You know, anyone can take a look at what happened in the past and try to come up with some. Oh, every time it does this, bounces off this number and it does this and it goes up, then it goes down, then it goes up. Yeah. That means it's going to do this. And it never does.
Yeah. Yep. Always trying to use past. You know, that's what they say. Past results are not indicative of future returns. So, but anyway, this 2 to 10 spread does have some important implications, because what it's saying is that short-term borrowing is much more expensive than long-term borrowing, which means that much of the money that's going into the economy in the form of debt to corporations and companies and people that are doing things like capital expenditures and expansion, that's the shorter end of the curve. And banks and all that, and the profitability of banks. So this 2 to 10 does have some statistical relevance. That doesn't mean every single time it goes below zero and the yield curve inverts, are we going to have a recession? That's not the point. However, it does mean, very simply, just looking at the information and what it says, is that it is more expensive to borrow. They're slowing down the economy. And the question is, how much is that going to slow down the overall economy in the future? So whether or not 12 to 24 months later there is a recession, that's not the point. The point really is that it is a sign that the Fed is, or the bond market is doing something that is causing a slowdown, and it will happen in the future. It doesn't have to be a recession.
Well, it hasn't gone below the zero line.
Nope.
Anyway.
Right. That's true. But now
it's got a ways to go. The way it looks like it's going, it's not like it's heading for the exits. I mean, it's a slow decline.
Right. From September 2017, this chart's over on DH Unplugged, episode number 416 in the show notes. So you could check that out. It was what? The spread between the two, the differential between the yields on the 10-year and the yields on the 2-year back in September 2017 was what? 0.8 or so? 0.85?
Yeah, 0.85 looks like.
And today it's about, actually today it closed at 0.24.
Yeah. And you can see it's kind of had a dippity do. It went up in February for some reason. Who knows why?
Well, that's when markets were going up and there was.
Well, everything was going up.
Yeah. And the spreads were widening.
Then there's been a slow decline. It should cross the line, I'd say, in.
By the end of the year? Let's see. That would be.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe by the end of the year, close to the end of the year.
Well, let's look at it. In January 2000.
Unless it comes back.
Well, I'll tell you where this will cross the line. I'll give you the exact. The next rate hike, if they move it up by 25 basis points.
25.
That's what they do. 25, 0.25. Yeah. If they move it up by, right?
Yeah, 0.25. I thought you meant 25 as a joke.
No. 25 basis points is 0.25%. So, by the way, if anybody out there, if you ever hear people talking basis points, it's like pennies. Compared to the 1%. So 1% is like a dollar.
Yeah, it is like pennies. I was not thinking clearly.
That's all right.
When is that going to be? September, October?
September.
Okay, well, then it'll probably take from September to the end of the year for this thing to cross the line.
Yep. Crossing the line. And then
it'll be too late for the elections.
And then we need somebody
Democrats would like to have this economy go into the skids just before the elections.
Of course. How screwed up is that?
I think they're going to miss it. What's going to end up happening is the Democrats are going to take a bunch of seats. Then it'll go into the skids, and then they'll be blamed.
Oh.
Could happen.
It could happen.
Go that way.
Yep. Politics is a funny thing. It's so amazing how in politics, I don't want to get into a political discussion here, but it's amazing in politics how quite often what they're supposed to do and who are they supposed to be benefiting does not align with what they're doing. Politicians, that is.
Well, most of them are benefiting by lining their pockets.
Right. On the backs of, I mean, even on the local governments, which could be even worse. It's some. I mean, we had something.
I think a lot of local governments are worse.
We had something down here where they were going to build this trolley car. It's called the Wave. It was going to go 1.7 miles on a street that there's not a lot of activity. It was going to be an overhead.
It's one of those in Detroit that they built.
Yeah, it's going to be one of these overhead electric things, like a rail.
Oh.
And it wasn't going to connect anything of importance.
Yeah, just a boondoggle.
$184 million they were going to spend. Somebody finally clamped down on it. Which was great. It would have been just a disaster. Well,
that's like the high-speed rail project in California. The only thing it's going to do is take some wheat from Fresno to Bakersfield or back and forth. It doesn't really hook up to anything important. It doesn't come from San Francisco. It doesn't go to L.A. Eventually, they say. But no, it won't because it's too expensive to do what they're doing.
Yeah. We have one down here now. It's called the Bright Line. I was on it actually Saturday night. My wife now works for them, by the way. And it's owned by a private equity firm. They right now go from West Palm Beach down to Miami. So, you know, they have like a first class car. You can get drinks in it and stuff. It's, you know, everybody's like, ooh, as a matter of fact, I'm going Sunday. Oh, we're going on the train. If a few friends want to go. We're going down to, we're going to West Palm. We're going to go to West Palm up to Clematis Street. Hold
on, before you go on.
Yeah.
Does your wife get your free comp tickets?
Of course.
Ah, okay. Go on.
So, we're all going up, a bunch of our friends of ours, we're going up to West Palm. And they're all like, ah, we're going on the train. I'm thinking, like, what? It's a train. It's just a train.
It's a train. You know when train as service peaked in the United States with the most passengers?
Yeah, it's got to be like the 1930s.
1928.
Yeah. But here we have a whole different thing. Over in Europe or in Asia, trains are normal. Get on a train.
Yeah,
you go somewhere.
Because you can, yeah. Kind of, even though people still prefer to take planes.
Right.
But it's more like a commuter service there.
Did you see the story about a company is trying to create a flying train?
Yeah, I saw that story. It just looks like something that should have been on the cover of one of those old Popular Mechanics from the 1940s.
Help me with this, but isn't a flying train
an airplane?
What's the matter with them?
Yeah.
Stupid. Anyway, moving along. This is also, by the way, the rail here is also going to go to Orlando, and now they're trying to get it over to Tampa. But that takes years to do. But it's nice. We spent actually Saturday night using only...
What is the ride normally cost that you're going to take?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Some people think it's expensive. It's to Miami, which is a half-hour run, is $10 each way.
Oh, that's cheap.
Yeah. If first class is 20. Huh. You get a drink for $7 drink, one drink. I think it could be different prices, different times of days. And, you know, I think on Sunday it's like $10 or $12 or $15 maybe to West Palm. It's an hour ride to West Palm.
But it's an hour.
We spent the whole
night. How many miles is that?
60, 50, 50.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. And you get off right on a really busy street. We also, on Saturday night, spent the night deliberately not using any cars. So we got to the train station. We parked a car there, but we got on the train. When we got down to the station down in Miami, we hopped on the Metro Mover, which takes you all around down or some areas of Miami. Got off at City Center, had some drinks, went to this great oyster bar, went to a few other places, got back on the Metro thing, got back to the train. It was kind of a cool experience. This way you could, you know, do your thing. A lot of fun. Anyway, back to the show. In the Eurozone, confidence has been waning. It's interesting, the differential between what we're seeing here in the United States and what we're seeing in terms of stocks, in terms of the economy, in terms of confidence, much different than what it is around the world. So Eurozone confidence, take a look at this chart here. These are the sentiment indicators for the EU. It doesn't look that bad.
Looks good.
They're starting to roll over here, and they climb, but they're rolling over a little bit. This is the consumer confidence. You should see the German ZEW index, ZEW index, very sad looking, way down. The financial situation they feel good about, they're on the zero line, but yes, it looks better than it's looked. I guess maybe they're just a gloomy people.
Well,
maybe they're not ever positive.
Who knows?
Inflation hit a what is it, from 2 7-year high last week, 2.73% year over year. Inflation on the wholesale level and consumers are both picking up. And here's another chart. You can see that green dashed line on this chart, which is the finished goods. Look at that. It's over 3%, like 3.2% year over year. And you can see the CPI number is over 2%. And ex-food and energy is about 2.2%.
Well, while you were explaining that, you know what I was doing.
You were going to, don't tell me, shadow stats.
Yeah. Just to see if the trend lines are the same. In other words, is it going up or is it going down?
I would bet. I'm not looking, but I would bet that they have a much higher inflation rate.
Well, no, it's always been higher. We know that. But what we're looking at, especially the shadow stats numbers, has been going up. It was around 3.8%, and now it's up to about, it's like about 6.4, 6.3.
When was it 3.8?
In 2015.
So what about this year? What was the rise in just 2018?
It's from 2018. It's been from the beginning of the year. It's been going slowly sneaking up.
Yeah, that's what it's been doing here too. So the beginning of the year was about.
In fact, it almost parallels the government line, except it's 3 points higher.
Right, which I would believe.
Yeah, I would too. I looked at these things.
Yeah, everything's more
nonsense. Money. These low numbers.
Some things are cheaper. There's definitely some things that are cheaper there. But
like
I think,
what? Well, you're here all day. You might as well.
Yeah, I'll think of something. It's got to be something.
Sure.
Not insurance, not education. TVs. TVs are cheaper.
TVs are cheap, but it's part. But anything in technology has this diminishing return curve built into it, where it's always going to get cheaper by the day, and then is replaced by a newer product that's better quality, that's at the same original fixed price. So to get a really good TV, that top of the line TV is always going to be about $2,500. So if you want to go get a LG OLED TV, it's about $2,500.
That's what they are these days. I've seen some for much lower.
Not the OLED, not the big giant OLED, not the small one.
Right.
But like a 65-inch OLED, I think is about $2,500, maybe $2,200.
Phil in the chat room is piping in. He says Bitcoin is cheaper. And there's no inflation in the cost of podcasts.
Yeah, yes. Well, there is, actually. There is, yeah. Good prices point. Are going up.
Yep. But U.S. stocks continue to outpace the world for 2018, part due to the better economics and, I guess, higher U.S. dollar. That's a big issue in tax cuts. Retail sales, we came in this week in at 0.5% increase for the month. Everybody was like, ooh, that's so exciting. The trends are positive, but it's not exciting. I want to see like a 2% increase. That'd be exciting. Netflix, I don't know if you've been watching this, came out with their earnings.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So a couple of things to note on this. Stock was hit in the after-hours market. Full disclosure, I was short for the trade after the close and closed that up for about a 50-point gain personally. But Netflix beat by 6 cents. Reported revenues and subscriber below guidance in terms of their total revs and subscribers that they had. Guys, their third quarter EPS revenue and subscriptions below consensus. They came in at 85 cents versus 79 cents of the EPS. Revenue is 3.91 versus 3.94. Their net subscriber adds for the second quarter was 5.15 million versus 6.2 million guidance. Now, that's a million less subscribers. They see their quarter three net sub additions, which is the churn, so how much came in net after people left, at 5 million. The estimates were about 5.6 million. So also on a global basis, let's see what they had. They're only going to have 0.6 million, 650,000 from the U.S., 4.3 million from international. So stock was down about 13% after hours.
Yeah.
And miraculously during the day, everybody's like, oh, it's cheap now. You know, the stock's up like
100. Buy low, sell high.
Yes. The stock
buy was, on the dips.
Yep. Buy the dicks. BTFD, they say. But what's interesting was that they're forecasting lower. First of all, the stock is priced to perfection. Stock is up 100% this year. There is one of the, if not the best, NASDAQ performer for the year in terms of the big caps. And stock drops 13%, 14%, something like that. It only finished the day down about 5%, which is pretty impressive.
I'd say.
But you have to wonder what they're doing here. Is it just that, well, they missed the buying opportunity some time ago, and now they're like, okay, well, it dropped, so I'm going to buy it. Not looking at the fact that it was priced to perfection to begin with, and now they're looking at 1 million less subscribers, and they're guiding lower. Now, something's a little off on this buying. I wouldn't be so surprised if maybe it continues to do a little bit of a loop-de-doo down.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. They're guiding lower.
Yeah. Goldman Sachs came in with, this is just irks me. Goldman Sachs estimates were at about $4.65 per share, the EPS estimates. They come in at $5.98. They come in with revenue at $9.4 billion versus estimates of $8.74. So let's just stop there. That's a good number, right? I mean, $5.98 versus $4.65.
All good.
I mean, that's not like, okay, we're estimating, estimates are at $4.65. They beat by 2 cents. This is $1.30. This is a very large, 25% beat. So, what's interesting is that the stock was down.
Yeah. I probably have another one of these offbeat explanations.
I'd love to hear it.
Like the one that you had last show. Well, in this case, I would say that if you got the company, what's the name of the company? Goldman Sachs.
Okay.
If they can't estimate their own earnings to perfection, because they're a bookkeeping company for all practical purposes. Yeah, they're bankers. But still, that's a bookkeeping function.
But they're not doing – wait, hold it. They're not doing their own estimates. These are estimates by companies like Reuters and Thomson.
Well, yeah, after they get slipped data.
Okay, I'll give you that. That'll give you.
So they get slipped bogus data. And I think it's sincere. Now, they could have been slipped bad data because it was done on purpose. But I would think they slipped them information that they thought was accurate because they don't want to humiliate these people unless they're just trying to run up the stock. And this all obviously proves that it doesn't work if you try that trick. So I would say that it's made the public lose confidence because these guys can't get their numbers straight.
I think that's a possibility. I mean, Lloyd Blankfein also officially retired today. That could have been weighing on stock.
That's probably what it really was.
I don't know. I mean, it could be, but I don't know. This is the same thing with the banks. This has been consistent with the banks for the last few years that their numbers are just way outside.
Yeah.
Way outside.
Yeah, to me is a bad sign.
Yeah. So I got a couple of charts together for you. There's a lot of charts in this episode.
Yeah, you got a lot of charts today. You're chart happy.
Yep, I am. There's been a buying frenzy going on. So let me tell you what's happened. So last night we saw the Netflix earnings. Stock was down 13%. NASDAQ futures plummeted because the value of Netflix in terms of the market cap, the total size of the company does a lot to actually move the NASDAQ, right? That one stock has a lot. So it went down, I don't know. It was down like 80 points, the NASDAQ futures after this, okay? It went from... I got it right here. About 73.80 down to 73.20. So what is that? 60 points. And it kept on going down into the morning, down to 7,300. So that was 80 points. From top to bottom at the close yesterday, after the Netflix earnings, everything was kind of like, ugh, everybody's grumpy. Okay? So you can see that overnight run on the first chart. And then look what happens when the bell rings. It's like Pavlovian response. Ding, bye. And they start buying. They take it from 7,300 up to 7,337 in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice chart.
And it goes, now, let's just fast forward a few hours to about 11 o'clock. Oh, no, this is actually, it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now we're up at 7,425, 125-point reversal, which is like 1.4%. and everything goes up during the day. I mean, these are 30-minute bars. There isn't one 30-minute bar except for one little one that it was down today.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's kind of a buying frenzy going on, regardless of the news, regardless of, you know, what's going on. Just incredible. Yeah, it's good. It's good news. I mean, I'm not knocking it. It's good news.
Wait until that little thing goes below the zero line that we're talking about earlier.
Aha. Yeah. I mean, there is something to be concerned about, that this much money is being pumped in and there's a lack of any kind of concern about anything. I mean, we also had today Fed Chief Powell's talking in front of Congress, and, you know, half of the people that are asking questions weren't asking questions. They were making statements, patting him on the back kind of thing. The other people were asking questions that seemed to just pander to, they knew the answer anyway. They just wanted to hear it from him, you know, that would help. And he was talking about, you know, a very robust economy that is going to be much stronger this quarter than last quarter, significantly stronger, low inflation, good jobs market. So he was kind of fluffing it all up too.
Well, that's bull crap. We already saw the inflation numbers are up, and we also looked at that chart that shows that the whole place is going to fall apart in December.
Right. That's true. We should send this to him. Hope you're listening, Jay Powell.
He doesn't listen.
No?
Ah, that guy, you can tell he doesn't listen, or otherwise he'd be more fearful.
Yeah. Well, let's get to somebody who does listen, and that's Elon Musk. We know he listens. He's getting a little bit cray, man. Cray, cray. Did you see his tweets this weekend?
I love this bit, by the way. Yeah, oh, yeah.
So he tweeted about the Thai rescue team. So he wanted to put his little submarine that we talked about last week into action to help out. Unfortunately for him, but very fortunate for everybody else, the rescue happened before he even got there.
Yeah.
They were all rescued. And he was kind of pissed off, it seemed.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He wanted the kids to suffer in there while he came to save the day, like Superman.
Right.
Robot Man, or whatever he is.
Right.
Iron Man.
That's him. Oh, yeah. Tony Stark. As a matter of fact, you know, that there, he was on the set with the whole Iron Man. I'm reading a book right now of his. There was a whole thing with him and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And that's exactly who he wants to be. But here's what happened. This guy, Vern Unsworth, who was on the international swim team of specialists in the cave diving. He was on the scene. He told CNN that he thought the mini submarine the Tesla chief sent to help with the rescue was a useless grab for attention.
Which I thought immediately, too. For one thing, the thing is too long, so it can't navigate. You can't go in and out of these crevices. It's just too long. It's just, I thought it was ridiculous, to be honest about it. But I admire the fact that he put something together so quickly.
Yeah. Right. But the fact is that he's like a super ADD dude, right? You know, he's like, oh, there's a squirrel. All right, thanks. Elon, we were just working on the
squirrel.
Rocket. Yeah, working on the rocket. What's the squirrel have to do with thing? You know? Oh. So here's what he tweeted in retaliation, which was pulled, by the way. You know what? That's what we...
You know, a guy like that, yeah, you can pull it, but you won't pull it right away. You won't pull it instantly. You'll wait till somebody says, hey, what did you do? And then you'll pull it. So it'll be up to 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour, which it was. And he pulls it, and what an idiot.
So I'm clicking. It's not saying the right thing. So he said, okay, here's what he said. He says, replying to one of these guys, you know what? Don't bother showing the video. We'll make one of the mini sub pod going all the way to K5. No problemo. Sorry, pedo guy. You really did ask for it. So he goes ahead and calls this guy out in this tweet and seems to infer, he calls him a pedophile.
That's what it sounds like. That's what I testify.
Ugh. Now, this guy is going back to England, and he's getting his lawyers and defamation and whatever, whatever.
This is a great lawsuit waiting to happen.
But it just seems to me that Musk is going a little bit off the rails, man. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, he's been off the rails for a while, I think. And I think a lot of it has to do with that Model 3 problem.
Maybe.
I think he's stressed out to the max.
Be a little.
He can't do the model. He can't get the Model 3 to come off the assembly line like he wants. He had to do this freak out thing and build a tent and make the, you know, his phony line. It's cost a lot of money to make $5,000 for that one lone week, even though there's supposed to be $5,000 per week for the whole year. And I think it's getting to him.
Hmm. well, something's getting to him. The pressure's getting to him.
In fact, that's why I think he did the little submarine. I think it just is a distraction.
Oh, really?
Because he was having trouble concentrating.
Yeah. Well, things aren't looking good for him. And then there was, you know, Stott came in on that and this other tweet about him giving a bunch of money to the GOP. And there was a concern about that. And he had to come back. I mean,
well, now he's the only one in Silicon Valley doing that.
Well, there's a big group of investors right now that recently wrote a letter. I think just as of today, wrote a letter to him like, Elon, chill out. Maybe you need to take a hiatus from Twitter for a while. Just get off the social media thing. Focus on what, you know, refocus on what you're doing, what we're trying to accomplish here between the Solar City, the SpaceX, between the Tesla, primarily Tesla. Just refocus what you're doing. You have enough going on as it is. So anyway.
I think it's an indication of worse things to come.
Well, could be. Could be. And you're short Tesla for the game, I believe.
I'm still short. Yeah, still hanging in there. It didn't drop as much as I expected it to after this pedo bear comment.
Well, it did, but it goes up like it was up 4% today.
Yeah, well, I was hoping it was going to begin its final slide into oblivion, but I guess not.
Last Friday, Amazon dropped a bombshell. They announced they're getting into the Switch business. This I thought was really odd. I mean, in a way, it made sense in that they, well, I thought it was odd. They could, you know, obviously. If you have as much money, number one richest person in the world by about $50 billion now.
Yeah.
So if you have that kind of money, let's just say you have a billion. That's him. We're not talking about the money in cash in the bank.
Yeah. No, I've never seen a guy play it so well.
Yeah. Perfect, right?
Which he makes Warren Buffett and Gates and Ballmer and all these guys look like a bunch of sissies.
Yeah. And he gets into all sorts of interesting things. So now this announcement is made that, you know, oh, it's going to get involved in the Switch business and the whole sector slumps. Cisco gets hit and they're going to offer their own networking switches to business customers. And these are switches that...
I wonder where this idea... You know, I don't know the background of this or what he's trying to accomplish. I mean, is he working to deal with Huawei or what? I mean, he's not... Is he going to buy a manufacturing operation that's already in business?
It was a little weird. It was just so off the beaten path.
I can see it, but I don't think it's completely out of line with his S3.
No, because what he'll do is he'll embed some very specific hardware into this to optimize working with
AWS.
Yeah. And maybe we'll make it all run smoother. Maybe there's some throttling that can work with. In other words, instead of having the switches.
Could be some security issues.
Yeah, it could be security as well. Yeah. So there you go. And speaking about Amazon, did you buy anything? It's still going on. Did you buy anything for Amazon Prime Day?
My wife did. She bought a bunch of stuff. We have a fiber optic setup at the Washington House that needs to be it's a long story, but we need some new gear, and the gear is all on sale. So
yeah, I bought some stuff tonight too that was pretty cheap. By the way, speaking of Washington, there is the slightest of possibilities that I will be in Washington for Oktoberfest. There's a big Oktoberfest there, right?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. And if I'm going to be there, you're going to be there.
Oktoberfest?
Yeah, you know what that is. A little beer, a little fun.
I know what it is, but what's it got to do with Washington? They're not in Germany.
Seemingly, this is a big area for some big Oktoberfest.
I'll look into it.
Yeah, we're going to have to get ourselves the full garb.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll wear that. The Lederhosen?
Oh, yeah. I'll meet you there.
You're going to meet me there. If I'm going there, you're going to meet me there. Amazon founder, as I said, his net worth broke above $150 billion. But they had a bunch of glitches on the Amazon Prime Day when it first started. I guess people were just going berserk trying to get on. And what happened was the servers went down and they were getting all sorts of little weird doggies as, you know, puppies and doggies saying, oh, we're sorry that you can't get there. Deals wouldn't load. It was just weird.
Yeah, I bet you somebody got chewed out for that.
Hopefully,
because they're trying to sell AWS, which has automatic load leveling and all these kinds of things that you want.
I got it.
And now they say, well, you guys can't even keep your own site running. So how are you going to keep my site running?
Let's put two and
two
together.
Embarrassing. This is an embarrassment of the highest order.
Let's put two and two together here, and let's just go a little deeper. With the two things we just talked about, one, Amazon has some kind of crashes or some kind of network difficulty, something, and they can blame it all on the switches now and say, yeah, this is why you need our switches. It was the switches that failed. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's lame because that's definitely not what failed.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, quick note on.
But now that you mention it, though, I want to look at the chart of Cisco. Now that you mentioned this story, because I didn't even think of that.
CSCO and Juniper Networks.
Yeah.
CSCO. Here it was. Let's see. 5 days. It was a drop from 43. It went down to 41. And now it's since recovered to about 42.30. JNPR. I think it's Juniper. Juniper, 5 days. It dropped from 28.50. Went down to 27.50. About 4%. And now it's at 27.93. So a bunch of the networking companies got plugged. But right on the back of it, everybody's like, well, don't worry about it. You know, this is exactly the same. You bring out the same playbook every time Amazon does something. When they go into the grocers, okay, it's not as bad as you think. Buy the dip, because we don't really think they're going to have a lot of impact here. You know, when they buy something else, same thing. It just goes on. And so now it switches. So just a quick few minutes so we don't get buried in this. With the President Trump, President Putin hoo-ha.
Yeah.
I must say that it was weak, okay. You know, everybody's, you know, all upset that they called Europe one of our greatest foes and then was nice to Russia, seemingly. We don't know what happened.
But he called them a foe, too. Most of this that we saw was, he called them a foe when asked.
Right.
You know, it's most of this has been edited down. I was watching, we were going to talk about this on No Agenda, but this is really just a very last ditch attempt to make sure they get more people to vote for Democrats. And they just went after him. I've never seen anything quite like it.
I was just one thing. I would agree with you on that. I didn't think it was the place in a public meeting standing there. With the two leaders Putin, his economy is not good and all that, but okay, a major leader of a nation, to sit there and bitch slap him on TV in front of the world, that's not going to happen.
No, I mean, I thought that reporter, the reporters are all set up. The guy stands up and says, will you denounce Putin right now for meddling in our elections? Who's expecting that to happen?
I mean, the whole thing.
I just
thought
it was silly. But the guy asked the question to embarrass Trump, and it put him on the spot. But he's not going to do that. It's like I come over to your house for dinner, and I have some disagreement with you, and I'm supposed to make a big scene at the dinner. I don't think so.
Right. The only thing that I could tell you that troubled me was the made-up and quick recovery attempt with the wouldn't. This wooden thing. You know about this?
No.
So he came on today on TV and says, oh, you know, after looking at this and.
He came on TV and he kind of made a jerk out of himself,
said,
I think.
Yeah, he said, I should have said wouldn't, not would. I mean, obviously somebody was on mad dash red alert scramble to figure out how to unwind some of this.
Yeah.
I thought that was lame. That's the only thing.
I thought the whole thing was
blown out of proportion, but I agree.
Again, this is, you know, a good move by the Democrats to get people to vote for him. I personally
we'll see.
Have no interest.
France wins the World Cup, and then, of course, what do? They burn down Paris.
Yeah, it's about time.
Guards are overturned, looting. What is the psychology about that? When you're really upset about something, you burn your house down. You've seen this before, right?
Yeah.
We're mad.
That's happened at Detroit riots in the 60s.
Yeah, we're mad
they
as hell.
Their own neighborhoods out down and made themselves homeless. That is really smart.
That's like being mad at somebody and punching your own self in the face. I mean, I don't understand what the point of this is. Why would you do that?
Making a point.
Making a point. You think you? I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that. Watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I'm going to do. Boom! Smashes himself in the face. I mean, okay, thanks. Okay, I'm gonna burn my own car here. Okay. Okay, let's talk about some other interesting things. Co-working space. You have a lot of that probably in California. You probably started this crapola in California. The co-working space.
The co-working space is nothing new. I mean, this started in the 90s. Or I mean, it started before that.
Back then it was called executive suites.
Yes,
and exactly. And it wasn't, of course, it wasn't this whole, we're going to make this a nationwide thing. Of course, capitalize on that, get a public offering on it, blah, blah. It was just individual buildings that said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a floor and we're going to make that floor executive suites for people that can't afford a full office.
Yeah.
Transient type of stuff.
And you had some secretarial services and stuff that you
could buy. Somebody answer your phone and stuff like that. You wouldn't have like this, all this other stuff that you have, like the fine coffee guy over there and this. It was a whole different thing. Now.
Yeah, it's modernized.
It's modernized and hipsterized. Since 2015, over 1 million square feet of co-working space was added to Manhattan per year.
Okay. Wow.
Yep.
Per year.
Yep. Manhattan has already 6.6 million square feet dedicated to co-working across 133 spaces as of July. This does not include the executive office spaces. There's this other co-working. There's a reason, I guess. Maybe in the co-working, you have these open spaces with just desks where people are like next to each other.
I find this to be, I have thoughts. I should probably write a column or something because what I think, I don't like this, by the way.
Yeah. I totally disagree with the fact that people could do four different things at once. Oh, I'm studying, I'm watching TV, I'm listening to music, and I'm texting at the same time while I'm studying. Really? Really, kid? How's that going?
The thing that I find with the co-working thing is, especially with the small little companies, they're trying to do startups or they're dicking around. Many of them are just dicking around. It's like writers have these offices that put – they're all writers. You don't need to go and hang out with a bunch of other writers. You're not going to get anything done. You're going to be talking to other writers. You want to write? Go to Bali. Anyway, it'd probably be cheaper. I think it's just a bunch of phonies. I got my little co-working space. You know, come on over. I can get the conference room for an hour, and we can have a meeting. I mean, it's just bull crap.
These are the same people that are making a whole to-do with their water cups, with their thermoses. What do you call these things? You know, with their Yetis, with their insulated Yetis.
Yeah, yeah.
Same people. Same people. Okay.
It's just a bunch of posers. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
I've not visited. There's one around here. I should just wander in because I bet you I get the creeps.
Yeah, WeWork. Go to the WeWorks. WeWork. So it's not I work, it's WeWork.
Yeah, WeWork.
The startup has told 6,000 of its global staff they're no longer able to expense meals, including any meat, and they won't pay for any red meat, poultry, or pork at WeWork events. He says, and this is the reason.
Why?
Well, in an email from this guy, Miguel McElvery, which obviously has an identity problem. It sounds like an Irish-Mexican. But he outlined this new policy. He sent an email to his employees. He said the firm's upcoming internal summer camp retreat would offer no meat because new research indicates that avoiding meat is one of the biggest things an individual can do to reduce their personal impact on the environment, even more than switching to a hybrid car.
Huh. I never saw that report.
Yeah, that seems to be missing. I wonder what Elon says about that. I wonder if his people could eat meat. He said,
"I don't know, maybe not."
Yep. Quick chart on lumber here.
Can't eat meat.
No meat. Carbon footprint. There's a quick chart on lumber prices. You can see how lumber prices went. I just threw that in there for an extra bonus. Kind of went up throughout the year, went from about 350, 325 to about 650, almost doubled this year. Wonder why housing prices are going up. And now it's down to about 518. the future.
Yeah, it is up there.
Yep. And finally, some news on cryptos. MasterCard is looking to somehow integrate their payment systems with cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of moved everything up nicely today. We're running behind today. Okay, quick point. It is now show 416. And if you want to do like some other people have done to quite the joyous result, you can buy a shirt, the DH Unplugged Collector's Item T-shirt signed by myself and John C. Dvorak is available. Just go over to the donate area, click the donate button, and the cost is the show number. Whatever the show number is, that's the cost. So it is $416, this show, so it's $416. We'll send you a shirt signed by myself, signed by John, and a big thank you. It helps the whole deal, and some people have taken advantage of that last week, so hopefully we could follow through this week, and any donations appreciated. And with that in mind, we have no Fed limericks from listeners.
Oh.
Yeah. See, this is one of your favorite. We only got a couple of weeks left. So if you do want to send in a limerick, just send it over to us. There's plenty of ways to get in touch with us. You'll figure it out. Just send us a limerick. But I have one.
Oh.
I have one. Of course, the chat room, you have to listen in and you have to actually grade it as well. Last week, I got lambasted for very poor reading skills in my limerick.
Oh, yeah. You really screwed up last time. I agree.
All right. So I'm going to do mine and see what you have to say about this one, okay? Here we go. September and December are the dates set by the Fed to increase the rates. If markets do tumble, the Fed will get humble, changing their direction until selling abates.
A.
Really? Well, that was quick.
It had all the rhythm. You had the exact right rhythm for a limerick.
Yeah, well, I practiced for 4 hours.
Yeah, sure. What are you doing in there, honey?
Yep.
Shh, selling, don't bother me. I'm practicing.
Selling abates. What? Why are you telling me, Matt? You're masturbates? What are you doing? All right, funny. Anyway, we have the American Airlines. You need to send me your price guess.
Yes,
for American
I will do that today, tonight, okay.
So close to the pin, American Airlines is the actual company that is in this competition. You have until, I think, the end of this week to get your price guess in for where it will close, I believe, on the 27th. We have a couple of quick things to do before we get to our stocks. I mentioned donations, of course. Just go over to the DH Unplugged site, click the donate button. Do that right away, please. Very important, especially if you like the limerick. All right. Bank of Japan now owns nearly 80% of the country's ETFs. And the Bank of Japan is a top 10 shareholder in nearly 40% of all listed companies on the Nikkei exchange. What do you think about
Isn't
that?
Isn't the Bank of Japan an arm of the government?
Yes, it's like our Fed is a central bank.
Well, this doesn't sound good.
No, that this is what they've been doing in their form of quantitative easing. They sell bonds and they create money out of nowhere, sell bonds, get money in, then buy the stock market. How crazy is that?
Hopefully the market will go up for them. Otherwise, they're just putting themselves into a heap of trouble.
Yeah, I don't know where the end of this is. Not to mention the fact that they also have the government has the direct oversight of the pension plan allocations. And they've been boosting their stocks over the last year or so. Ivanka Trump products getting the cold shoulder. Canada's Hudson Bay Company pulled all of Ivanka Trump's products from its website and says it will stop selling her products in 90 brick and mortar stores across the country. They own like Saks Fifth Avenue, which offers, doesn't have any Ivanka Trump merchandise available online. Lord & Taylor, which has some. Several other companies like Nordstrom, Neiman Marcus, and Marshalls have scaled their Ivanka Trump offerings way back. I don't know what that story is.
It's because Trump insulted their prime minister.
Ah, good point. Trudeau. He's good at that.
Yeah. Well, Ivanka suffers.
Yep.
Ivanka's got nothing to do with it, but she suffers anyway.
Here's a weird story. The corporate owners of Mandalay Bay Casino, remember the shooting?
Yeah. Yeah, they said we got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, they filed a suit against the victims. They filed a suit against, you got to hear, against the victims of last year's Las Vegas concert mass shooting, claiming that it has no liability for the massacre, according to a published report. MGM International went to federal court in Nevada and California and took on more than 1,000 shooting victims, saying claims against the hotel giant must be dismissed. And this, the reason for this seems to be that if they win this case somehow, it will be heard in federal court instead of state court, and they think that it's going to be a better chance of victory in a federal case. It's kind of a, it's just a nasty turn of events, don't you think?
Very weird, yeah, very weird. But probably something they needed to do.
Right, because anybody that was in earshot of the of this will probably be suing.
Yeah, I would. I would.
And finally, in Barron's mid-year roundtable, where all these knuckleheads get together and pontificate about whatever and talk about their stocks, Jeff Gundlach makes the case that we're getting closer to a recession. Now, to put that in perspective, he was also a buyer of Brazil 20%, 25% higher at the beginning of the year. So, tells you about his prowess.
Yeah, you know, showing no consistency.
Yep. Before we get to the game, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine?
You know, I usually get this, and I usually have this at my fingertip.
Now, while you're looking for that, I'll mention that John C. Dvorak can be heard with fully prepared information, by the way, ready to go on No Agenda Thursdays and Sundays at 12 p.m. live streaming at noagendastream.com. Of course, you can listen to it on podcasts and all sorts of good stuff around there. Also, the Disciplined Investor podcast. We had a great episode. I butted heads with Frank Curzio pretty hard this week on the whole tariff issue. If you haven't listened to the Disciplined Investor podcast, make sure to download that this week.
So I wrote about the facial recognition software Brouhaha.
Oh, with Microsoft. What is their problem?
Everybody's making this stuff. What, Amazon had some facial recognition stuff. Facebook's got it for their system. And I just kind of went over that it's nothing to panic about because we're already deep into a security state already. And so what you want to do is get these things into play as fast as you can while we can still do something about them. It's kind of an offbeat analysis.
I got to tell you, I have the facial recognition on the new iPhone 10. I just got that a few weeks ago. Irritates the hell out of me.
Why?
Because I'm used to for many years using my thumb in some regard to either tap and then either type. But for a long time, it's been the thumbprint. You just touch it and you just hold your thumb there and it opens up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I have my thumb behind my back, under my leg, dark, light, warm, cold, doesn't matter. This thing I got to put up to my face. I got to hold it up there. And God forbid it's dark. I got to, you know, get it really close, have a light shining on it. It's ridiculous. Half the time it doesn't work for me. And I've even reset it to try to imitate exactly where I hold the phone normally when I touch it to.
Yeah.
It's still, it's not as
stinks.
Yeah, it's not as receptive as the old one.
Oh, well.
So, all right, let's take a look at the stocks. Not a game. It is a game that we play. No, maybe. Well, it is or it isn't. It all depends on what you want to say. I could say it was and then it wasn't, just like Trump did recently. But nonetheless, this is a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It's simply a discussion between two pals about some interesting stocks that are out there. You decide for whatever reason to buy any of these stocks, please seek professional financial advice. Also,
seek professional help.
Yeah, in some way or another. Now you broke my rhythm, my canter, my what was I? John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company may own any of the client stocks mentioned, and we'll duly note that. And of course, notice that this is not a recommendation. It is very risky, and do your homework. There you go.
So I'm looking at this thing, and there was a stock that we just picked on the last show and already got bumped off.
Blink Charging?
Yeah.
I know. I should have put a little bit more of a range on it. It hit the 15% almost exactly and bounced off.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But the rest of it looks pretty good. Facebook's only up 38%. Can you imagine if they didn't have any problems? can you imagine if they weren't somehow giving away all of our information? Nine. 210. Russia's doing well. Biotechny nowhere. Biogen up 30%. Eagle Point up 0.7. Generac up 1.3 with a drop today. I didn't see any news why it was down today, actually. I looked. Macy's short is up 6.5%. Morningstar up 11.79.
That was a good call.
That was the awesome chart. Looks like it's just going to keep going.
Yeah.
Next, Innovation Common, insiders up 3%. Tesla short on your side up 9.8%. Apple short down 2.75. Starbucks short up 6.4. Oh, this is terrible.
Two out of three.
I just looked at something here. Oh, that's terrible. What? I picked a stock that's on here already for this week. That's bad. GE is...
Oh, you pulled you. I did that once before, as you recall. Yeah,
I'll pull it off. GE is down 1.23%. Earnings on Friday, by the way. Deutsche Bank up 13.26. Yesterday was a big day. They had earnings. The revenues were better than expected. And everybody's like, ooh, that's fantastic. They were down again today. I wouldn't put it past them to go down again. You'll end up positive on it.
I think so, yeah.
You have no choice. You definitely... the worst you could do is up 3%.
Right.
Micron Technology with the whole China rumor, brouhaha, is up 7.7. Blink Charging is off. Interexon down 2.98%. And my pick of GE this week is not going to be my pick of GE this week. That's coming off. So you're up.
Yeah, you have it picked on the 627.
Yeah, I was searching for something today that was far enough away from earnings, but yet, you know, with the whole earnings season, and I think things are pretty well valued right now.
You made a mistake.
Now.
You made an error.
Yeah, I will and won't admit it that.
Well, I'm going to pull a Horowitz, although I should have pulled this Horowitz some couple of weeks ago. Uh-huh. And I'm going to go back to the well with one of my favorites.
Oh.
Like you always do. You always do this with two or three stocks, I can recall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go long on Walgreens Boots Alliance.
WBA.
Yeah.
That is definitely one of your go-tos.
Yeah.
It's like one of your go-to girls when you know.
Yeah, go-to-girls. When you need it.
Yeah. And what is the reason there?
I like the. I think it's crawling back to its old form. I think it's and mainly two people. One person sold it, an insider sold it, one of the directors, and two other directors. No, I take it back. One sold it and bought it, so that's a wash, but another director bought like $100 million worth, and I figure, well, you know, $100
million.
$100 million. Yeah, $100 million.
People have money to spend.
I know. It's just like, oh, let me throw $100 million at this thing. Okay, well, if you're going to buy $100 million, the thing's always been going up like a champ. I have to assume that you know something.
Yeah.
So
$100 million's, yeah, I mean, if Jeff Bezos did that, it wouldn't matter.
No.
You know?
It's like chump change for him.
By the way, just to get back to Amazon one point, I remember so distinctly the early days of Amazon. And there was a writer from Barron's who I loved, Alan Abelson, one of the best wordsmiths and writers. Just you've read him probably, right?
Sure.
Oh, but he hated Amazon. I mean, this was a company that was not going to make it, going out of business. It was the wrong thing. They're losing money. I mean, he's dead now. But he was just absolutely 100% so wrong on this. But kind of
on his tombstone, it says sell Amazon.
Probably does. All right. Let's see. What else do we have to cover? That's about it. We mentioned No Agenda Show, of course. We mentioned the donations. We'll mention it again. We mentioned the podcast next week. I decided not to go diving in Jeju Island when I go there, by the way.
What was the basis of this decision?
The dive shop, the only person that spoke English in this one dive shop sold the dive shop, and therefore there's no English-speaking people. And moreover, the diving looked weird. There was some really cool nudibranches and other things down there, but the way to get in the water, the videos that I saw, involved scaling a small cliff, not that big, on a chain to get in the water, or a giant stride like 8 feet down into the water. I am not interested in a giant stride into the water with all sorts of gear on me 8 feet down, or climbing back up a chain.
I think this is a wise analysis.
I just said, with nobody that speaks English.
Right.
So
when they're warning you, you don't know if they're telling you that you're doing a good job, right, or there's a shark coming.
Exactly. So I said, you know what? Maybe we'll pass. I actually contacted a couple of people. There were some very nice people that wrote some blog entries about the nice diving there that I wrote. They said, you know what, if you don't go diving here, it's not the end of the world. It's not the best diving ever, like the Sinai or some other places around the, you know, China Sea and some other places. Some of those places around the clearer water and the beautiful corals. Next year, right. maybe the Great Barrier Reef.
Sounds like something for you to do. Yep.
All right, I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.